Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. And look, if you would, starting at verse 6. Paul says this. Second Timothy 4, verse 6. Paul writes, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for your word that we may read and study, Lord, and live by. And Lord, you've left us your word, Lord, so that not only people can be saved by the word of God, but people can know how to live in such a way to please you. And Lord, I pray as we're looking at this coming year, the new year coming up, Lord, within a week, Father, help us to set our goals right. Lord, help us to live our lives in such a way, Lord, to where we won't have regret, Lord, where we can stand before you boldly and say the same thing that Paul said. Lord, that way we could hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, I just pray that you'll just speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. And I pray if there's somebody who isn't saved here this morning, that, Lord, that they will understand it's not a game, that death is real, death is coming to everybody. And we don't know when it's going to be coming knocking at our door. But Lord, what's important is everybody should be prepared to die. And only those who know for sure that they're going to heaven, Lord, when they pass, are truly prepared. And so, Father, I pray this morning, Lord, you'll speak to the hearts of everybody, Lord. If they're saved, I pray you'll convict them to be saved. If they're not right with you, Lord, I pray you'll give them conviction to get right. And Lord, if there are some changes they need to make this morning, Lord, I just pray that you'll show them what those changes are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with the new year coming, this coming Saturday, I often find myself wondering, where does the time go? Okay. You know, it seems like it was only about a week ago that we had the Thanksgiving dinner here. And now Christmas is coming past. I tell you, I can't believe it. I couldn't believe, honestly, on Christmas Eve that it actually got here so quick, and now it's gone. Okay. And then, you know, within a week, 2021 will be gone. Now, to some people, that's good riddance. To other people, it may not be. I know that 2020 was certainly good riddance for everybody. But you know, time flies, and the reason it does is because I believe we're living in the last days. And we know that the judgment seat is coming as Christians. And so, you know, every year, isn't it going to be nice? I was thinking about this morning when I was sitting there having my cup of coffee. I was thinking about the new year coming, and I was thinking to myself, boy, isn't it going to be nice when you get to heaven? And you say, well, what year is it? And they'll say, it doesn't matter. What time is it? Doesn't matter. Why? Listen, time was only made. And I'm not going to get into this too much this morning because it has nothing to do with the message. But you know, if you think about this, you go back there to Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. In the beginning of what? Time. That's when time started. God doesn't live in our time. He lives outside of time, but time started then, and then you get a revelation that says, and time shall be no more. So you have a beginning and the end, and what is that time there for? It's a time for people to get saved and receive Jesus Christ, and it's all based on him coming and ruling and reigning on this earth and us receiving him, and then one of these days there'll be no more time, and those who are lost will remain lost, and those who are saved will remain saved and be living with the Lord forever. And so when you get to heaven, there isn't going to be any more New Year celebration. Why? Because there'll be no need to keep time because it'll be eternity. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. Because every time I see another year coming, I'm thinking to myself, that means I'm a year older or going to be a year older. And that means I'm a year closer to my death. That's true for everybody in this room. I'm not saying you know when your death is going to be, but let's face it. After a year passes, you are a year closer to it. There's no getting past that. And it sure is going to be good when we get there and there is no more year closer to death because you're having everlasting life and And everything, the way it is when you get there is the way it's going to be 10 million years from then. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to that. Now, here Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, had come to the end of his life. And it wasn't long after he wrote this letter to Timothy that Nero, the leader of Rome, had Paul executed. That's why Paul said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It was time for Paul to die, and he was ready to die. And to tell you the truth, I believe that Paul had been ready to die for quite some time. I say that because Paul said this over in Philippians 1:23. He says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Now the question begs to be asked, how do you know it was better? Because I believe that was Paul over there. He said, "I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, that went up to paradise, went up to the third heaven." Paul would have known that heaven was better. Listen, he was prepared to die. He was ready to die. And he says, "My departure is at hand." And he says, I'm ready to be offered. And then the Bible says, he says, I'm ready to be offered. He was prepared for death. And you say, well, what do you mean he was prepared? Well, he knew that the scriptures say that it's appointed unto men once to die. Listen, I say this every Sunday just about, but the truth is all of us are going to die. And the question is, are you prepared for that? Now, Paul was prepared for it. He says, I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. My departure's at hand. I'm ready. I'm prepared to leave. That should be everybody in this room this morning. Everybody in this room should, this morning, would, if I told you that, listen, you're going to die before sundown, you should be able to say, listen, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure's at hand. I'm ready. And the only way you're ready is if you're saved. Amen? Now, listen, if you're not saved, you're not ready for your death, but death is still coming. And so those who are saved, they're ready to go. My question for you this morning, are you prepared? Are you ready for death? Do you realize that what preachers are sent to this earth to do? To preach the gospel to get people prepared to die. So that's the question for you this morning. Are you prepared for death? And so Paul begins these verses and he's saying, I'm ready to die. But then in verse 7, Paul says something very bold. He says this. In fact, what he says here, every single Christian should be able to say the same thing. Paul said this. Now he said, I'm prepared to die. The time of my departure is at hand. And then he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What a bold statement. You know what he said? He said this. I've done my best. I did what the Bible told me to do. I fought hard. It was tough. I did it. I finished the course that the Lord gave me. I finished what the Lord had me to do. And now he's ready to take me. But listen, if he says, I have finished my course, he says, the time of my departure is at hand, would you agree that the course that he was given to him by the Lord, and he said, now listen, it's done, and it's time for me to die. You know what that's teaching you? That's teaching you that if you're still alive, that means God still has something for you to do. Amen? Now, when the time comes for you to die, that means you've finished whatever the Lord had for you to do. So we need to get busy. Now, he says, I have fought the good fight of faith. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. What a statement that is. Now, Paul was not bragging here. Instead, he was giving a testimony to Timothy concerning what kind of life Paul had lived as a believer and how he had served God since he was saved. And so in these verses, Paul is giving a testimony to Timothy about the life that he had lived for the Lord. Let me ask you something this morning. What if this coming year was your last year on this side of eternity? Would you as a Christian be able to say the same thing that Paul said? Would you be able to say, I have fought a good fight of faith? I have finished my course. I've done what the Lord's asked me to do. I have kept the faith. Could you be able to say that? Listen, folks, that Paul is given there as an example to us. He was telling Timothy, listen, this is the way you should be able to say this one of these days. You should be able to live your life in such a way where you can say, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course, I've fought the good fight of faith. And may I tell you, everybody in this room should be able to say that. If you were told tonight that this is your last day upon this earth, you should be able to say, I have fought the good fight of faith. I've kept the faith and I've finished my course. We should be able to say that. And you know, rather than focusing on how fast time seems to be moving, which we all do, and rather than focusing on all the things we should have done this past year and didn't, I want you to focus this morning on just one thing. And that is, how can we make our lives this coming year count for the Lord? How can we live this coming year in a way where we have no regrets when it comes to our service for the Lord? Paul knew how to make his life count for the Lord. He knew what he had to do to live life where there would be no regrets when it came to serving God. Now, I'll show you that. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Because in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to show you how Paul lived and the things he did so that way he would have the confidence to say that I have fought the good fight of faith. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished my course. I'm going to show you exactly what he did so that he was able to say that. And if you'll do these same things, you'll be able to say that one of these days as well. In Philippians chapter 3, look if you would, starting at verse 12. Paul writes this. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this, or shall reveal even this unto you." He's saying this is the type of mind that we should have. This is the type of thinking that we should have as Christians. Now, Paul had this type of thinking. Therefore, when he was ready to be offered, he said, "I have finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith." Because he did what he told people to do right here in Philippians chapter 3. So here Paul shows us how he was able to live a life with no regrets and how he was able to come to the end of his life and say, "I have fought the good fight of faith. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." You say, well, what did he do? Well, first of all, he never got satisfied with where he was spiritually. Notice what Paul said in verse 12 here in Philippians chapter 3. He said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Paul was satisfied with Jesus, but Paul was not satisfied with his own Christian life. Paul was aware that he was not where he needed to be spiritually, and he is aware that on this side of eternity, there would be areas in his life where he needed to mature more in. In other words, he just wasn't satisfied where he was. Now, I don't think that any Christian in this room this morning could honestly say, "I have arrived spiritually." I don't think there's any Christian in this room this morning could say, "You know what? You know, you want spiritual maturity, you want perfection, that's me." Hey, listen, you may have matured some in one area, but I guarantee you there is other areas in your life that you need a lot of growth in. That's everybody in this room. That's me, that's you, that's everybody. You know, that's the reason the Bible talks about besetting sins. Hey, listen, if you were perfectly mature, there would be no besetting sins. But we all have them. You know what that means? That means we have weaknesses. That means we have areas where we are not very strong. That means we have areas where we're tempted more than other areas. There are places that we need to grow. Problem is this. So many Christians today are satisfied where they are spiritually. They think, hey, listen, I've read that Bible. I know it through and through, and nobody knows that Bible better than me. I'm just telling you, if that's what you believe this morning, you got a lot of growing to do. Because I'll tell you this, the more I read that Bible, the more I find out I don't know anything. I mean, nothing. I mean, I know the basics, and I understand why we believe what we believe, but listen, even when you're reading that, you get something new all the time, something new all the time. Not a new teaching, but you're always going to get something from the Word of God. Why? Because that Bible is layered. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Now, this is going to get weird, so hang on. But this Bible, would you agree that this Bible is alive? Yes, it is. The Bible says it's quick. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Quick means to be made alive. What I'm saying is this. If you pick up a book, let's say like Charlotte's Web, which I'm a big fan of ever since I was a little boy. But anyway, if you pick up a book like Charlotte's Web and you read it, After you get done, you're like, okay, I know what's in that book. Good to go. Amen? I mean, I could tell you the whole story of Charlotte's Web right now. But you ever notice when you read the Bible that what you get out of it today is going to be different than what you get out of it as you continue to read it over and over and over? You can get something new. Same verse. How many of you ever saw that one verse you've read 1,000 times and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, I just saw that. That's not true in Charlotte's Web. Amen? But it's true in your Bible. Why? It's layered. It's the Holy Spirit of God teaches you based on where you are spiritually right now. In other words, there's milk and there's meat in your Bible. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit right now, if you haven't been saved very long, he's going to give you a whole lot of milk. But then as you start to grow, then as a physical little baby, listen, when they're little babies, you give them milk. When they get to about 3 or 4, you should be giving them something a little bit more than milk. Amen? By the time you turn 18, you better be giving them something more than milk. Amen? People will look at you weird if you give everybody an 18-year-old a bottle. Amen? So as you're growing, you need to get something different. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you something different. So therefore, if you're one of those people that say, hey, you know, my Bible's wore out and I need to take all my notes and transfer them over to this new Bible. Just forget about that right now. I can tell you that. Because some of those notes, you're like, well, everybody knows that. Yeah, but you didn't when you first read it. But now you know it and you've moved on beyond that. Amen? What I'm trying to say is this, is we all have growing to do, and we all have a lot of maturing to go, and none of us have arrived yet, and nobody will arrive yet until you get on the other side of eternity. Nobody. And so we all have growing to do. And so the worst thing that we could possibly do as Christians is get satisfied where we're at. If you get to the point where you're satisfied where you're at spiritually and you say, I don't need any more growing. I know the Bible. I've read it. I understand it all. I don't need to grow in these areas. And you get satisfied, I guarantee you that when you come to your last days upon this earth and you look back at your life, you will not be able to say, I fought the good fight of faith. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. You won't be able to say that. Why? You didn't keep on growing. There were opportunities that you had to serve the Lord that you ain't going to have those. You didn't take advantage of those opportunities because you were satisfied where you were spiritually. You say, you mean to tell me there are Christians today who are satisfied where they are spiritually? All over the place. All over the place. There are Christians all over that think today that they can't be taught anything. Folks, one of the worst things that I've ever seen are Christians that can't be taught. Because being teachable is a basic fundamental thing in that Bible. You've got to be able to be teachable. Why? Because there's one greater than you that's trying to teach you, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And so we're not to be satisfied with where we are where we are spiritually. But there are people today that are satisfied where they are spiritually, and the reason they are is because they look at other Christians who aren't as mature as they are in certain areas, and they look down upon those Christians. And that's the reason they're satisfied where they are. They compare themselves with other Christians. In other words, they say, well, you know, compared to those people what they do, I've lived a good Christian life. I mean, I give much more time than those people do. I do much more work for the church than those people do. And may I tell you this morning that to make yourself look spiritual by comparing yourself with other Christians is a cheap, cowardly way to convince yourself that you're spiritual. If you compare yourself with somebody else and think that you're a spiritual giant, compared to them, folks, listen, you can find anybody that's less spiritual than you are. I mean, look around. Everybody in here can find somebody that's less spiritual. But here's the problem. We're not supposed to compare ourselves with each other. Who are we supposed to compare ourselves with? Christ. Here's what 2 Corinthians 10:12 says. Paul says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Why? If you just pick out somebody who's struggling more in their Christian walk than you are. And by the way, we all struggle in different areas. But if you pick out somebody that happens to be struggling in an area that you're not struggling in, and you say, well, you know what, I'm some sort of spiritual giant now because I'm a whole lot better than that person. You're fooling yourself. And that's not wise. Why? Because I guarantee you, I don't care how much of a spiritual giant you think you are, you compare yourself with Christ and see where you land then. I don't care where it is in your life. I don't care what part of your life you're comparing. You compare your life with Christ, and that, by the way, He is the standard. He is the standard. And so we're not to compare ourselves with each other, but that's what people do, and that's the reason people get to the point to where they're satisfied with where they are spiritually, because they pick out somebody that's less spiritual than they are in a certain area and think that they have arrived. Nobody has arrived. So the question is, are you living the life that God says you are to live? Are you living the life that His Word says you are to live? And if you're dissatisfied this morning with the way you're living for God, this way you live for God this past year, if you're dissatisfied with how much you've done for the Lord this past year or how much you've grown this past year, that's good. You should be dissatisfied with it. You should look back at your life this past year and say, you know what, I could have done more for the Lord, because you could have. You should be able to look back at your life this past year and say, you know what, I should have grown more. That's right, you should have. But you have an opportunity this coming year. You have an opportunity this coming year. Because when a believer gets satisfied with the life he's living and he becomes satisfied with where he is spiritually, that believer will stop growing in the Lord. And you must remain dissatisfied with your Christian life. No one has arrived to be totally Christ-like. No one has achieved perfection when it comes to spiritual growth. So there's absolutely no reason for any Christian to be satisfied with their lives before the Lord. We must never allow ourselves to be satisfied with where we are spiritually. And so, how was he able to come to the end of his life and say, I have fought the good fight of faith, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith? How was he able to do that? Number one, he never got satisfied with where he was spiritually. He never got satisfied with that. He was always looking at himself, comparing himself to Jesus Christ, and continued to grow. Then the second thing, not only did he not get satisfied with where he was spiritually, but then the second thing is he also never got preoccupied with what he didn't do in the past. He never got preoccupied with what he didn't do in the past. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul uses the word forgetting here, and he does not mean to fail to remember. Rather, it means we're not to be controlled by the past. We don't need to be all hung up on past sins or past failures. You see, God expects us to learn from our mistakes. And that's how our faith gets built up. We go through tough times, and during those tough times, we call upon the Lord to get us through those tough times, and He does. And then the next time that those tough times come, our faith is a little bit stronger because we know that the Lord will take care of us then, just like He did before. That's how your faith grows. Okay? In other words, you actually have to do what the Word of God tells you to do and have the faith in the Lord. And then when you see Him do a work, let me ask you something. How many of you have seen the Lord do a work in your life before when you were going through something really tough? God got you through that. Amen? So the next time that the tough times come, would you say that you're probably in a better position to say, you know what, I trust the Lord last time. I think I'm going to trust Him this time too, and He'll get me through it. That's faith, that your faith is growing. Your faith in the Lord is growing. That's the way all of us should be. And so we're not to focus on our past failures. When it comes to our past, we're not to forget the past in the sense of forgetting what God has done for us. We're not to forget how He saved us. We're not to forget how He's taken care of us. But Paul is saying here that when it says this one thing I do, and that is that he forgets that which is behind, what Paul is saying is that we're not supposed to focus on our failures. We're not to wallow in our own self-pity. There are so many Christians today who are distraught over the things that they should have done and could have done for the Lord in the past, or they're at the point where they know that they've sinned and not lived the way the Christian is supposed to live before the Lord. And rather than confessing those sins before the Lord and just moving on, they think that God can never use them again. And they think that they can never please God again. And if that's you this morning, I want you to listen to me. It is possible. It is possible for you to say one day, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But you have to stop with the self-pity. You have to confess what you've done before the Lord, and then you have to stop beating yourself up over it. You got to let it go, is what I'm trying to say. And if you've already confessed your sins before the Lord, maybe you haven't. Listen, maybe this past year, maybe you didn't do what the Lord wanted you to do. Maybe you didn't serve Him like you should have served Him. Maybe you didn't grow in the Lord. Maybe you got satisfied where you were spiritually. Maybe that's you this morning. What you need to do is just confess it and then move on. Don't sit there and think about, oh man, I could have done this year, and I could have done that this year, and I didn't do it. And listen, you know what that is? You need to listen. You can't go back and change it. And we call that spilt milk. We call that water under the bridge. As many times as we would like to go back and change the past, nobody can do that. Can't do it. But you can make a difference as you move forward. You can do things a little bit different as you move forward. Paul was saying this. He said, listen, we need to live in such a way that we don't get satisfied where we are spiritually, and we don't get hung up on the past. If you've confessed those sins before the Lord, listen, the Lord has put those sins far behind Him as the east is from the west. The second you confess those sins before the Lord has forgotten about those sins. Then why in the world are you still thinking about them then? Why are you sitting there beating yourself up over it before? Why are you doing that now? I'll tell you the reason why is because the devil's whispering in your ear and reminding you of those things. And you think back and you say, well, I could have, should have, would have back in the past. You can't go back and change it. But you can change what you do today. And you can change what you do tomorrow. Amen? Don't get hung up on what you didn't do. Don't get hung up on the fact that you didn't serve God like you should have. Okay, if you didn't, join the club. Most people don't. Move on. And so that's what Paul was saying. Paul came to the end of his life and he said, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He never got satisfied with where he was spiritually. He never got preoccupied with what he did or didn't do in the past. And then the third thing, he decided to move forward in the Christian walk. In Philippians chapter 3, look if you would at verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul was not idle in his Christian walk. He's not standing there still spiritually. He's just presently moving on. Paul was aware that he was not where he needed to be spiritually, and that there were areas in his life that he needed to mature in. He was aware that there was so much more that he could be doing for the Lord. And so he quit thinking about all the past failures, and he just kept moving forward in his Christian walk. He kept growing for the Lord, growing in the Lord, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, never being satisfied where he was, and he kept serving God. And the truth is, folks, we all need a lot of work. We all need a lot of work. We have a lot of room to grow as Christians. We all need to keep moving forward in our walk for the Lord, but only you can decide to keep moving forward. Only you can. You know, it was like the old song we sing a lot. It's called Onward Christian Soldiers. Onward Christian Soldiers Marching As to War. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but that's called an actual march. You can actually march to that song, okay? For those in the military, understand what a march song is, because you can actually keep time with it with your feet. I remember when I was in the military, what they taught us to do is after we were marching, they'd always say, take your right foot and dig that thing in really hard. So that way when you're going, you're trying to keep time, everybody in the same step, and you're hearing that march going on or that song going on, you'd go, woomp, 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 and it kept everybody in time. Amen? Onward Christian soldiers, marching as unto war. Now that's a song about us moving forward. Amen? You know, when I was in the military, you know the one thing, if you want to take down the whole flight, the whole everybody marching, you know how you do it? While you're marching, stop and turn around. You know what happened? Either you're going to get knocked down to the floor, or you're going to make it like a domino effect and everybody else is going to get knocked down to the floor. Amen? Why? You only march one direction. I do remember one time we were doing a parade. Of course, this is all free. I'll just tell you this. But one time we were doing a parade march, and there's a bunch of people. We were all marching around. We're all in formation. And we had a brand new drill instructor, and he didn't really know what he was doing very well. And so as we're marching around the flag, he's supposed to say, you know, have us turn left. And then we'd march left. Well, one time he meant to say left, and he said right. Right there in front of everybody. Everybody else is going this direction. All of a sudden, this one flight just kind of takes off this way. And we were following orders. We never got in trouble, but he did. He told us turn right. Brother, we turned right. Amen. What I'm trying to say is this. We got to be moving forward as Christians. Always moving forward. Forget those things from behind. You've got today. You've got tomorrow. You want to start, listen, you want to get to the point where you can say what Paul said at the end of his life? Listen, this new year that's coming up, be committed to say, you know what? I need to grow more. I can't be satisfied with where I am spiritually. And I need to just forget about my failures this past year, the things I could have done for the Lord and didn't do, the ideas I was going to serve the Lord, the things that God laid upon my heart to do that I never did. You got to leave those things behind. Forget about it. You didn't do it. Okay, you didn't do it. Start now. Keep moving forward. Listen, you learn something new in the Bible. Don't all of a sudden think that you've arrived. There's much more to learn in the Bible. Amen. And just because you've done something for the Lord, amen, you served Him. Let's keep on serving Him. Always move forward. And if you do that, then you'll be just like Paul was when he came to the end of his life. Because he wasn't satisfied where he was spiritually. Because he just didn't sit there and think that he had already arrived. Because he had forgotten those things in the past failures. Because he had moved forward and continued to move forward. Always want to serve God more. Always want to learn more. Constantly moving forward. Because he did that, when he come to his last day, when he's writing there in 2 Timothy, when he's writing to Timothy, he says, I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I don't know about you, but I would love to be able to say that at the end of my life. Again, this coming new year, we're all 1 year closer. And my question for you this morning is this. If this should be your last year that comes up, let's say 2022 is your last year on this side of eternity. Or let's say you go to the doctor and you get some really bad, bad news. Would you be able to say the same thing that Paul said? Would you be able to say, time of my departure has arrived. I'm ready. I'm prepared to die. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. I don't know about you, but I would love to be able to say that. But you're not going to be able to say that if you're satisfied where you are spiritually right now. You're not going to be able to say that if you're all just hung up on the things that you didn't do and should have done. You're not going to be able to say that, but you'll be able to say that if you've kept moving forward. Keep on doing something for the Lord. And I have a feeling that after Paul said that, now he said that to Timothy. Shortly after that, they let him out and they beheaded him there under the order of Nero. And I have a feeling that when they executed Paul, that the first words he heard was, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I'll tell you this, it's one thing to be able to say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. But to be able to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen, the only way you're going to hear those words is if you keep moving forward for the Lord. Amen? So my question to you this morning is this. Are you moving forward? Or something stopped you? Like maybe you're thinking you've already arrived and you don't need to grow anymore. Or you don't need to serve the Lord. Or maybe you're so caught up in the past that you think the Lord's done with you and there's no reason for you to serve Him anymore. Because after a while, you're thinking the Lord can't use you. If you're still alive and you're still breathing, the Lord still has something for you to do. Listen, when the Lord says it's finished, then it's finished. It doesn't matter what any doctor says. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. When the Lord says it's time, it's time. What are you going to be doing up until that time? Again, you're a year closer. Let me ask you this. Are you saved this morning? You're a year closer to your death. That Bible says if you're not saved, you're condemned already. You don't want to die and still be condemned because there will be no do-overs. You must receive Jesus Christ before the hour of your death or you'll burn in hell forever. I know you say, oh, great, another hell, fire, damnation preacher. Well, that's what the Bible says. And I'll tell you this, the Lord, Jesus Christ, warned more of that than any other subject in the Bible. Why? He's not willing that any man should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved today. Are you prepared for death? Christian, are you prepared for death? Have you been serving the Lord? Are you moving forward? Let's stand.